Today we have Coley Collins in the studio to tell us all about Flower Scouts, a floral design company she founded by herself. Welcome, Coley.
Thank you.
So what made you decide to start Flower Scout in the first place?
I've been farming for other people in Williamstown, Massachusetts, in a program that was just meant to last one season. But it was essentially like a grad school for farming. We were supposed to come out of it with a plan for what we wanted to do next. And having left Troy to go to Williamstown, I knew pretty quickly that I wanted to come back to Troy. As soon as I left, I knew it was where things were happening for me, and I needed to come right back. Also, being a single woman, I wasn't ready, or maybe wouldn't be ready regardless, to invest in a large property or machinery. I wasn't interested in any of that. So I basically tried to find a plan where I could come back here, start a business that didn't require a lot of debt, and use the skills that I'd recently learned. And so I started growing flowers on community garden land. I'd worked for community gardens before I left. So I knew kind of how to work the models I had available to me here, and I had a community that would start supporting me, basically.
And what exactly is Flower Scout do?
You know, I'm essentially a florist. I resisted that phrase or term for a long time. But I grow a lot of my own flowers on a piece of property on Jefferson Street towards South Troy, and also buy from other local farms. So my designs end up reflecting that interest in seasonal local flowers, and they often tend to be a little bit weirder than I think what you'd find at a normal florist shop, just a little wilder, generally.
Like outside the box a little bit.
Outside the box. There's a lot of people doing that kind of work now, but not as many people here locally, which is nice for me. But essentially, I do weddings. I do arrangements for people who are having a party or an anniversary or just want something for themselves. And I have a studio near Russell Sage where people can order things or pop in.
Okay. So my colleague Livonia was doing some research on your business earlier today. I think she pulled something from your website where you talk about community-supported agriculture as a, you know, radical, politically innovative business model. Tell us how you approach that one.
Thank you for reading my blog. That's so nice. I loved writing that. I have a small CSA. About 25 people get a bouquet from me every week. It's over for now, but it runs from the summer solstice to the autumn equinox. And so folks come in every Thursday and they get a bouquet. And what that meant in 2016, which was a severe drought year, was that they got just a little handful of stuff. What that meant this year, when there was so much rain and the temperature was perfect for flower growing, meant that they got this beautiful bouquet I was really proud of. And so, I mean, that's what is beautiful about that model. It means that if you're interested in investing in a project, you do so irrelevant of the outcome. You know, which sort of, I think it can thwart our capitalist tendencies. We want more for less all the time. We're always like Googling if there's a coupon code for the thing we're about to buy. Whereas if you buy into a CSA, you can't know what you're going to get at all necessarily. You have a loose idea. And also these people were taking time out of their week to come to me to pick up. It saved me all the time and money of figuring out how to make a bunch of deliveries. So, I consider all those people my best supporters, you know, we developed a kind of intimate conversation too, where every week I would be writing these newsletters about what I was thinking about and experiencing, what was coming out of the garden. And they would come back to me and talk about the favorite things, you know, those things that had been on their kitchen table all week long and in their lives every day. Got more notice than the, you know, $200 arrangement that might be at a wedding where people are just sitting around it for a couple hours. And that makes it really special to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me about the arrangements. I mean, how are they different than what I might get from some corporate florist?
That's a good question. I think a lot of the times more corporate florists make things just that have no relationship to a season. So you could go into a place right now and get a bunch of tulips. And like here, you, as we know, they come into season in late April and early May. But also I think, you know, to the detriment of florists' natural skills, there's been this movement over the last, 30 years, maybe 20 years, that to standardize the product. So you subscribe as a florist to something like FTD or 1-800-Flowers so that your customer can look online and say, oh, I want that.
Uh-huh.
And you have to verify that what you're making looks like that. Mm-hmm. And then you deliver that exact product, which really removes a lot of the like innate creativity and capacity right. of florists to make their own inventions. And my stuff, you know, has no relationship to any of that. And it's whatever I have on hand, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to play with it, you know. It's like a form of sculpture, I think, really super temporary sculpture. So
you're more like an artist.
It feels that way to me, yeah. I didn't know that getting into it. I just started playing with flowers and then slowly realized, like, oh, this is like an art practice that I can get more skilled at and more interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I do some growing down in Del Mar myself, and I've found it that it's difficult to break into the agricultural market in the area. Mm. But I would guess that it might be different for flowers. Are you, like, when it's you versus the corporate things that are already out there, or even just the existing businesses, do you feel you have a leg up because you're going with locally grown stuff, or... Or not.
Yeah, I think it's a different stream of the marketplace, maybe, because, you know, most of my clients, 90% of the money that comes into my business is weddings. And the wedding industry is its own behemoth, you know, they call it the wedding industrial complex in the industry. So that is its own thing. I haven't done a farmer's market. I don't think I'll try to. But there are amazing local farmers here. Barbara at Native Farm Flowers has been doing the Troy Market since its beginning, and she does incredible work. And that's not, yeah, the market is not my aim. But one thing that I think flowers are, which is valuable, is a value-added product, like a yogurt or a cheese or a cured meat or whatever, or a sauerkraut. So if you're growing something and then you're creating something out of it, sometimes there's more of a marketplace, or there's other places to land if the market's already flooded.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest learning curve you've had as a entrepreneur?
I think money management stuff. Yeah,
me too. I still struggle with that.
Yeah,
especially on Saturday in the mall.
Right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, I want to knock on wood. I think I've got some degree of a handle on it now, but a couple years ago, Oliver Albany, do you know that blog? They're a local, wonderful, like, sort of news outlet. And they run a little grant contest. Different businesses or organizations in the area could compete for this $1,500 grant. And I got into the final round, and I ended up winning it, which was super nice. But we had to give a presentation, and I gave this whole presentation on sustainability and what I was trying to do. And then in the questions round, they asked me how much money I had made the previous year as a business, and I had no idea whatsoever. Like, not, you know, I was like, maybe $3,000, but maybe nothing. I honestly didn't know. And it was so embarrassing that it caused me to, like, okay, get QuickBooks, like, start to do the thing. But also just legally, if you get big enough that you're just working for yourself and don't have an outside job, you have to have a handle on that stuff, or mm-hmm. else, like, it's going to come down on you. So it happened eventually. Yeah.
That's a great story. I love that.
I love that expression. It's going to come down on you.
Yeah. Sadly.
Let's see. We still have a couple more questions here. All right. So maybe some of the mistakes that you've worked through, I mean, that's maybe one of them. But you know, if you're trying to help the theoretical new business owner out there avoid some pitfalls.
I don't know if this is wise for everyone, but I'm a big avoider of debt, and I grew the whole thing really incrementally, so that, you know, I did one wedding the first year, and really it was a wedding where I brought buckets of flowers and the family of the bride did it all themselves. And then the next year I did 3, and the next year I did 8. So it kind of crept up until this year. I think I'm doing like 55 or something insane.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
So that won't work for anyone who needs infrastructure, you know, or needs equipment. But for me, it made a lot of sense to never, I never even personally had a credit card until I was 30 or something. So I really feel like when you build a business, especially a creative business, it's just nice to see what people want. Just like make some things you believe in, see how people respond to them. And I think a lot of people, I've seen friends do this, they sort of first want to make a website and a presence, and they mm-hmm. want to get a line of credit, and they haven't even made the thing yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that would be my encouragement. Yeah.
Yeah. Do the work first.
Just do sit down. First. Yeah. See if you even like it.
Right.
And we're just about out of time, but what's next for Flower Scout?
Winter is nice for me. I don't have to do that much. I'm actually going to do a little storefront in my studio that I'm calling Suga, which is it's a Latin name for hemlock. I'm being a little precious about it, but it's going to be handmade goods by friends and people I love just from... just over the solstice season, so that holiday gap. And I'm excited about that. It's a different outlet creatively for me. But I'm also taking a road trip and going to go see what other people are making.
So, cool. Coley, how can people contact you?
I have Instagram I'm super active on, which is Flower Scout. Mm-hmm. If you Google Flower Scout, you'll land on my website right away, and there's a way to contact me that way right on that site.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
So that was Coley Collins, artist, florist, I'd like to say, founder of Flower Scout, a floral design company here in Troy. We thank her very much for coming in and being with us this evening.